Hello, and welcome to the Trans-Pacific podcast. My name is Angela Schottenhammer from KU Leuven in Belgium, and I'm the supervisor of the ERC Advanced Grant Trans-Pacific. Today, I would like to speak about some medical practices on board of an ocean-going ship and introduce the case of a Spanish ship surgeon from the late 16th century.
This sounds very interesting. What kind of ship and which geographic region are you going to talk about?
In November 1592, the inventory list of a ship surgeon of a galleon called San Martin was presented to the Spanish authorities at the port of Acapulco. The San Martin was one of the famous Manila galleons, or now de China, that between 1565 and 1815 regularly plied the Pacific Ocean between the new Spanish port of Acapulco and Manila in the Philippines. These galleons brought a wide variety of Chinese and Asian goods, such as porcelain, silks, ivory, or spices from Manila to New Spain, Mexico, in exchange for mostly New World silver. But they also carried a great variety of alleged marginalia, from medicinal drugs, plants, books, to communion wines or other alcoholic beverages, oils, or other foodstuffs.
How long would such a trip take, and what about medical care on board in case of emergencies?
A regular trip from Acapulco to Manila without any contingencies would last around 3 months. The eastbound trip back to Acapulco was a much more difficult voyage and, as a rule, took between 5 and 6 months. Much could happen during such ocean crossings, and it is clear that the crew needed at least one ship surgeon or doctor on board. Now, back to the ship surgeon of the San Martin. He was a certain Agustin Sanchez from New Spain and was responsible on this ship to cure the sick. The original Spanish manuscript says as follows: Barbero y cirujano que vino de la Nueva España en el galeón de su majestad San Martín para curar los enfermados de la dicha nao. Agustín Sánchez eventually passed away in 1586 on board of the galleon, which was sailing from the Philippine archipelago. The original Spanish manuscript says as follows: Barbero que murió viniendo de las Islas del Poniente en el galeón San Martín. As Agustín Sánchez had no heirs, his belongings were eventually sold in an auction at Acapulco. These were, among many other things, his medicinal books and his equipment, his doctoral kit. The inventory list actually provides us with intriguing insights into the medical literature and the medicinal tools that were used on board of these galleons in the late 16th century. According to the Spanish manuscript, the books were placed in a box with keys, many of them titles on medicine and surgery. For example, 2 copies of Practica de Juan de Vigo, Theory and Practice in Surgery, from 1537, by Giovanni da Vigo, an Italian doctor and surgeon. 1 copy of the first Castilian pharmacopoeia, Modus Faciendo Cum Ordine Medicandi, Craftsmanship According to Medicinal Guidelines, from 1527, by Friar Bernardo de Laredo, a book of the secrets of the respectable Don Alexo Piamontes, from 1563, 2 copies of Chirurgia Universal, Universal Surgery, from 1580, by Juan Fragoso, a physician and botanist from Toledo and surgeon of King Philip II, a Compendio de la Salud Humana, Compendium of Human Health, from 1494, by Johannes de Ketham, a German physician living in Italy, a book entitled De Avisos de Sanidad, Treatise on Health, from 1569, by Francisco Núñez de Oria. This book, for example, provides ample information on the use of food, including bread, meat, fish, vegetables, fruits, and beverages, such as wine and water, and consequently, definitely served as an important reference to consult on board for dietary questions. A copy of Los Problemas de Villalobos, Problems, from 1544, by Francisco de Villalobos, a Jewish converso and court physician who introduces solutions to particular health problems, and a probably still unpublished copy of the Libro de Farfán, a brief treatise of medicine by the Spanish physician Agustín Farfán, which introduces the most common diseases, so that his book consequently served as a kind of standard reference. The list of books ranged from the late 15th century, for example, the book by Ketam, 1494, to the most recent works. The book by Farfán was only to be officially published in 1592. The one on universal surgery by Juan Fragoso had just been printed a few years before. Many of these books contained carefully drawn illustrations of the human body or its parts, and of special plants and herbs with medicinal properties. The titles included 19 old books about surgery and handwritten notes, possibly some notes about his own experiences from medical treatment on board. It should be clear that in face of the limited space available on board, surgeons did certainly not take more books on board than they considered really necessary. The list of Agustín Sánchez, consequently, provides us with an interesting insight into which literature was considered essential on board of such transoceanic voyages.
What else can we learn from the inventory list? Do you have some insight into his medicinal tools, which he carried on board?
To Sánchez's equipment belonged, for example, 6 forceps for the extraction of back teeth, pincers, barber equipment, including mirrors and a drug case, including a small glass with balsam oil. Also needles, scalpels, and grinding stones to prepare medicines belong to the normal equipment of a ship surgeon.
Really? Forceps for the extraction of back teeth?
Yes. The frequent mentioning of forceps or irons to pull back teeth springs to mind. Also another ship surgeon, Alonso Sánchez de Herrera, active around 1600, carried among his belongings a bag with 5 iron tools to pull back teeth, a cautery, a small bronze minaret with an iron handle, and a small grinding stone.
Why is that?
Against the background of the widespread phenomenon of scurvy, vitamin C deficiency, among European seafarers, especially on long transoceanic voyages without intermediate stops to get fresh water, fruits, and vegetables, this would make sense. The surgeon needed tools to pull the loosening teeth, especially the back teeth with longer tooth roots. Scurvy, also called the Dutch disease, a name given to the disease by Owen Cruise, makes the mouth sore, putrefies the gums, and makes the teeth drop out. Gemelli Carreri, an Italian adventurer and world traveler who crossed the Pacific in 1697, records. And grinding stones were needed to prepare medicines, to grind ingredients from herbs, plants, up to minerals and other substances.
What other medicinal tools did a ship surgeon like Agustín Sánchez have on board?
In addition, enemas, rectal injections of fluid intended to cleanse or stimulate the emptying of the bowels, and bloodletting, obviously belonged to the standard remedies in the 16th century, based on the general idea of expelling the humors from the sick patients' bodies. So, one would expect to find several kinds of small hoses and syringes, as well as knives and scissors in the medicinal chests of surgeons. Also substances that could provoke vomiting or that worked antimicrobial and antiseptic, like for example camphor, were valued.
Where did these remedies that were probably also used on trans-Pacific voyages come from?
Among the medicinal drugs, herbs, and plants that were used on board, many stemmed from either Asia or America. Camphor, for example, was part of most pharmacies and, due to its wide range of possible applications, was also valued on board of ships. Juan Fragoso, for instance, introduces camphor in his Cirugía Universal. A narcotic plant called pisiatl in Nahuatl, Nicotiana rustica L, also called Aztec tobacco, is a case in point. The book of Dr. Farfán that I have mentioned, for example, suggested a certain LP7 to cause vomiting. This was a mixture of fresh and dried powdered tobacco leaves, lime, and often garlic. And it was believed to protect also against evil spirits, enemies, and sorcery, against vipers and other venomous animals, and to possess the power of extracting the disease.
Thank you very much, Professor Schottenhammer, for these short, interesting insights into medicinal aspects on board of a late 16th century Spanish galleon in the Asia-Pacific waters. We hope to hear more about such aspects in the near future.
This was the Trans-Pacific Podcast, part of the ERC Advanced Grant, The Structure and Impact of Trans-Pacific Trade 16th to 18th Centuries. The Manila Galleon Trade Beyond Silver and Silk.